Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We continue our coverage of coronavirus prevention, testing, and treatment across the state of South Dakota. Here is the latest. The state health lab is no longer processing tests for COVID-19 due to a shortage of supplies. South Dakota healthcare providers can continue collecting specimens as they deem necessary, but test results are delayed. Department of Health officials say they do not have a timeline for when test processing will resume. The state now has 350 pending tests. That's up from 35 yesterday. So we stand at 11 confirmed cases, but again, 350 pending tests, and those numbers will not change until those tests can be processed. Those confirmed positives will not change. Now, Dr. Shankar Kura is Vice President of Medical Affairs at Monument Health, and he joins us on the phone. Dr. Kura, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lori.
Let's start with the basics of the process for patients of Monument Health on contacting their providers and getting testing if they need it. How are you establishing your process, please?
Yeah, we have a protocol that is followed if someone has either been exposed to someone with a confirmed COVID-19 disease or they have traveled to an area, level three countries like China, Iran, UK, Ireland, and European countries, or they are exhibiting symptoms associated with a recent travel to these areas or an exposure to a patient.
And they're being asked to call their primary care provider. Is that what happens for those people? So you can kind of self-prioritize. You know, you have an idea of what you're going to hear when you call your doctor. But then is that how it works? You reach out to your primary care doc?
Yes. And that's our recommendation. And once they do that, they'll be advised as to how to get tested. They can either then, based on their recommendation, go to the drive-through testing where they collect samples from their nose and their pharynx or the mouth, and then those are then sent for further testing to the state labs.
So no internal testing or contracting with other labs? Is everything from Monument going to the state lab?
That is correct.
All right. Are there efforts to sort of coordinate with the other labs, or is that just on hold? Because none of those tests are being processed right now.
Correct. And that's ongoing. We're obviously looking for any and other venues that we could find to test. But right now, it's mainly through the state.
What is Monument Health doing to increase capacity in the event that you have cases as far as intensive care beds and ventilators and staffing and personal protective equipment?
Now, we have a very well-developed plan, which is very tiered in its response based on how this outbreak develops. Initially, our immediate plan is to have a entire unit of 32 beds that is dedicated to cases that might come. And we have a tiered plan that goes on to then expand those beds and all the way up to a little over 100 beds that we can accommodate cases up to that number. And beyond that, then it becomes a true emergency where we still have a tier beyond that, but that's still something that we hope we won't have to initiate.
You mentioned drive-through testing. Is that something that people need, a note from a provider or an appointment? Or how? What are the logistics of drive-through testing in Rapid City?
Right. So if they come after seeing a provider, then that note is sufficient. But if they just came on their own based on their suspicion, then they go through a very simple screening procedure. The three questions will be travel-related, one related to exposure to another patient or a confirmed case, and finally symptoms based on whether they have fever, cough, shortness of breath. Obviously, that symptoms alone would not be sufficient because this is the flu season. You could have several viruses that could cause similar, mimic those symptoms, but one that is strongly associated with the travel history or a recent exposure to a known case would then trigger that positive screen, and then testing would be done.
And tell me a little bit about the process of working with state government officials or federal government officials on these emergency plans or other healthcare organizations. What does collaboration look like for Monument Health right now, and how is that going? Yeah.
And Lori, that's the key word there is collaboration. I think we can't do this alone. All of our plans take into consideration all the other agencies here, the public health department, the state, and any of the local agencies. And we've had help from several independent bodies as well, offering their help in those kind of emergent situations. So the plan includes not just Monument Health, but all of the partners in the community.
We're getting a lot of email questions or listener questions about treatment at home, because there seems to be some concern that people will get COVID-19 and have symptoms and really either not be able to access their healthcare provider. What can you tell us about how to treat the symptoms if you have a positive test, or even if you don't, but you think that this is something that you've contracted?
Yeah, great question. The disease itself has a mild form and then a slightly more intense form. And then finally, the part that we all dread is pneumonia and respiratory failure associated with that, which is life-threatening. So most cases, 85% or so, have milder forms. And in those cases, the ideal situation be to self-isolate at home, limit any kind of outside contact, and follow the usual sanitary precautions. Soap is very effective in killing this virus. Hand washing, making sure you wash your hands before you make contact with others, and staying away from folks who are not exhibiting symptoms. A 6-foot radius would be great, but self-isolation at home. And the treatment is very supportive in nature. It's basically staying hydrated, checking your temperature, taking medications for the fever, and basically a symptomatic approach. And then if, unfortunately, the disease progresses to a more severe phase, such as pneumonia with shortness of breath, that would require emergency care in the hospital.
All right, so staying hydrated, taking your temperature. Is there a temperature that is this too high, that is a dangerous temperature in a child or an adult? How do you process that fever?
Sure. Ideally, you want to stay below 100.4. 100.4 is considered a fever in this virus. And anytime the temperature exceeds 102, there's always a risk. Depending on the age, it varies bad effects to occur.
All right. So fever reducers, do you alternate those? Is there a preferred fever reducer for children or adults?
Yes. Yeah, good question. The preferred is Tylenol for adults. Ideally, you want to not exceed not more than every 4 to 6 hours a standard dose.
Hydration, just water, sports drinks. What do you recommend for hydration? Pedialyte, sort of children's hydration?
Yeah, that'll be fine. And, the simplest form is, without getting too technical, is just water with a pinch of salt and a little lime in it would be ideal. You don't have to have sport drinks. That should take care of it.
Don't hoard the sport drink. Don't panic by any of these supplies, because I know some shelves are running out of Tylenol and fever reducing products. Please be kind to the other people in the world who might also need these same supplies. You mentioned pneumonia, Dr. Kura, and is there any sense to I remember different times in life when you were trying to avoid pneumonia and you need to get up and get moving, or a little bit too much laying in bed might exasperated. Is that true? Is that a myth?
Those are mainly to improve respiratory secretions from just pooling when you're just being sedentary. But the real treatment for pneumonia is supportive for oxygenation, which is why we recommend going to the hospital, because once you have pneumonia, the real problem is you're not getting enough oxygen. The lung is unable to perform its function of delivering oxygen to the tissues. And so moving around is great, but that just moves secretions and helps with that, but it doesn't actually help with the pneumonia, which is why we recommend going to the hospital.
If you have a more severe case, when do you know how to get there? How do you know when it's time to go to the hospital?
Yeah, that most patients know right away, but clearly shortness of breath is the big one. If you can't even get out of bed or even lying in bed, you're short of breath. Those are very bad signs. But shortness of breath typically gets most people motivated to go to the hospital. I think my advice would be for folks that start feeling short of breath to immediately contact 911 or get assistance to get to the hospital.
That's an emergency. Are there efforts at Monument Health facilities to sort of clear the decks of elective procedures or any kind of a non-essential care?
Yes, we have a whole operational plan around the surgical teams. In fact, the surgeons, the medical director of surgery, and several members of our surgical team presented a thorough plan, which is, again, tiered, initiated by triggers. So there are several levels, and one of those is we would stop all surgical procedures and attend to the emergency of this disease if it were to become a true emergency. But it's, once again, a tiered approach. We're ready today if we had cases, confirmed cases, on how to handle that.
Okay. As you listen to the coronavirus task force led by Dr. Deborah Birx and Vice President Pence and the president spoke today, as you follow that national communication, what gives you confidence in America's response and what do you wish we had more of in America's federal response to this pandemic?
Yeah, I think everyone's doing the right thing. A lot of this is logistics. As you can see in the case with Italy, if we had a large number all at once, it would overwhelm even the best systems. The good news that I see and I have a lot of hope from is everyone's taking this very seriously at the national level, at the state, the regional, local, and I think that's good for all of us. If there is one shortage, it's the logistical challenge, and hopefully we won't be in a situation where we have a large, overwhelming number of cases that would overwhelm even the best laid plans. But that's where our challenges lie.
Right. How far out do you do that kind of planning? Were you thinking, like, what if, you know,
correct,
those scenarios? What does that look like? What can you tell us about what that looks like internally?
Yeah, and we're looking ahead as much as we can, and a lot of this is the supply chain challenges where we are in constant touch with the suppliers who give us allocations, usually a short period of time. So we use that as our cycle. So if they said 3 weeks, we'll allocate every 3 weeks certain number, and that becomes our cycle to keep ramping up and then managing those resources, the stewardship of those resources here is very key. So we have plans around that as well, so we can make sure that in a true emergency situation, we're not caught without the adequate supplies needed to take care of our patients.
Dr. Shankar Kura is Vice President of Medical Affairs at Monument Health. Dr. Kura, we appreciate your time today. We hope to hear from you again in the future as this situation unfolds.
It's been a pleasure, Lori, and stay healthy.